When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I have a question.
Go ahead.
Because I feel like I was part of your training by telling you you should swim more, but and I don't know if you took my good advice, but how did the triathlon go?
Oh, my God.
You did it for the last month, and we haven't talked about it.
Maybe I should have swam more.
Oh, no, really?
It was terrible. It was terrible.
I knew you were going to have trouble with the swim because you wouldn't swim.
No. Well, I swam. Okay. So, to be honest with you, not only do I not know how to freestyle, it freaks me out. Because, like, the breathing thing, like, I get water in my ears and I get it in my mouth. Like, I can't freestyle swim.
Okay.
I just don't know how to do it. And
You don't do breaststroke. Oh, but you don't do this, do you?
Dog paddle?
No, people who swim like this and they keep their head up.
No.
Okay, good.
I was breaststroking.
Because I would have had to leave.
So, like, in a pool, I had tried it, and I was like, this isn't that bad. I could do this, you know, breaststroke. So, I was like, all right. And everyone kept saying, get in the ocean. And I was like, no way. It's the Pacific. It's freezing, and there are currents. And everybody was like, but, dude, if you don't get in the ocean, like, you're going to freak out. And I freaked out. So I showed up, and first of all, no one had told me that I needed a certain kind of wetsuit. So I had bought this little surfing suit, like this short wetsuit that surfers wear at the surf shop. I didn't. So I showed up in my little suit, and Lucy Danziger, who is a big triathlete, she's like the head of Self Magazine. She does these all the time. And she grabs me and she's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm gonna do this thing." And she's like, "What are you wearing?" And I was like, "A suit." And she's like, no. And so you have to wear like this really serious neoprene, like full suit that's like a 5 millimeter or whatever, like a different thickness.
Oh,
so she
really?
Goes over to Xterra And she gets them to put me in a suit literally moments, right, before this gun's going to go off. They're greasing me up, trying to get me in this suit. And when I say I'm not kidding.
Jillian, they are last person I would think that would need to be greased up.
Greased.
Put in a suit.
They're greasing me up to try to slide me into this wetsuit, okay? Now I'm in the wetsuit, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't move. Oh, my God. So I'm claustrophobic, right? Because it's like a full suit, and it's really tight, and I can't breathe. I can't breathe. So I'm freaking out. So Lucy's like, hurry, hurry, your heat or whatever, it's going to go, hurry. And so the gun goes off, and my friend Ashley and I go running into the ocean. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And we're at Zuma Beach. And I was like, are there any tips about this whole current situation? Oh, no. It's going to be glassy. Well, it wasn't even remotely glassy, right? So you have to swim all the way out past the break to these buoys. By the time I got past the break, I was like, I'm going to die. The guy had just panicked. Complete panic, and I was like, oh god, and I couldn't. So the suit floats, right? So I had done it where I was thinking I was gonna take a breaststroke down, come get air, breaststroke down, come get air. So every time I tried to take a stroke, I would like bob like a little buoy and float up like perpendicular. So I'm like trying to swim and I'm upright because I don't know how to freestyle. And people are like passing me. There's wounded warriors that are missing limbs. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm being literal. They're flying past me out there. 80-year-olds. They're like, out of the way, out of the way. I'm like,
get out of the way.
Yeah. So the guy on the little surfboard out there is like, you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to die out here. And there was a point too where I was halfway through it because it's a half a mile swim. And I was halfway through it and the only way back, there was no way back. I was like equidistant.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh God.
Jillian.
So the swim was a car crash.
And it's the first thing.
Yeah. So I had to sidestroke my way through it. On my good arm, right? So I've got my one arm extended, and my little gimpy arm is, like, trying to get me through. So it takes me 20 minutes. People are doing this thing in, like, you know, the good swimmers are doing it in, like, 8 minutes, things like that. It takes me 20 minutes to get through this swim. So then I'm like, all right, I got this, because the bike, I've been biking. I can bike.
I know you can bike.
So I was like, here we go, right?
I was definitely concerned about the swim.
Yeah, that was a disaster. Oh. So I'm freezing cold. I'm covered in sand. I'm trying to get the suit off. It's like, it's stuck to me. I'm like, I can't get it off. And like, all this is happening in the celebrity box where everybody has cameras, right? I'm in this celebrity box. So my bike, God bless eBoost. They were like, they wrapped my bike. Have you ever seen this?
No.
So people will wrap cars. Like, have you ever seen Justin Bieber's Fisker? It's like a chrome.
Yes.
Okay, it's a wrap. It's not paint. They put like this chrome paper wrap on the car. And they can wrap a bicycle or a car. So eBoost wrapped my bike. So they took my whole bike apart and they wrapped it with this like orange mat stuff, and then the whole bike was like eBoost, 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 right? Because they were like sponsoring it. So I was a little nervous about it because it's first of all, the bike is a very expensive bike, okay? And I don't allow myself to buy things like that unless I use them, and I really use that bike.
Right.
And last year, what got me into biking was when I was asked to bike the try for Stand Up to Cancer. I didn't do the run, I didn't do the swim, but I did the bike, and I was like, I can handle this. I'm going to do, you know, no problem. So I've been biking all year. I'm like, I'm going to smoke this. So last year I did it in like 59 minutes, which wasn't a great time, but I was like, I'm going to get this in like 52 minutes. I'm going to kill this because I've been biking. I've biked the path many times. So they wrapped my bike. Well, my brakes were not put on right. But wait, it gets better. So I get on the bike and something's dragging. And I'm like, what is that? So my brakes were put on and like the front brake is dragging on the wheel. And then I went to shift gears and my front derailleur was just completely not working. So I could choose the bottom seven gears or the top seven gears because I couldn't get. So I was like, oh, my God, I'm in the bottom seven gears. This is going to take me in eternity. Because you can't go very fast when you're in the bottom 7 gears. So I have to get off the bike, pull the chain off of the one front wheel onto the other front wheel. And I can't use my derailleur in the front, so I can only use my back gears for the rest of the ride. So now I'm covered in grease from the chain. My brake is dragging. I can't use my front derailleur. And I get to the hill, but I can't. So the lowest gear I can get into is a 7. And I, you know, because, like, I can't get, right? So I'm like, oh, God, because I can't drop the gear down.
You're still not in that neoprene suit, are you?
No, I took the suit off.
Oh, thank God.
So now I'm on the hill, and I'm dying, right? Because I can't get into, like, gears 3 or 4 or 5. I'm in gear 7. And I'm on these hills, and I'm unraveling. And they pull up to me in this car, and they're like, what do you think? I'm like, well, I want to be dead. So I now get down, and I came to find out, because you can see your time later, that the bike took me 1 hour and 6 minutes because of all the shenanigans that went on with the bike.
That's, are you kidding? That's still damn
good.
No,
last year I did it in 59 with no training.
Okay, and
I wanted it in 52.
Oh,
I was supposed to make up time there. So now, you know, I hate running and I'm a terrible runner, right? Well, I did not practice. By the way, who's got time to train for these things? Who's out there training? Like, who's training for this? Like, I gotta work. I got kids. So I can run 4 miles and I can bike 18 miles. But I've never run after biking. So now...
Oh, you didn't practice? Oh,
no.
Jillian, you know what?
No.
This is so your fault. I told you to swim, and I told you to practice the transition.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a brat.
So I get off the bike, and I put on my shoes, and I start running, and my legs are like... But the best part is I have to pee. So, and this is like my worst nightmare because I'm like, what do I do if I have to pee?
Piss your pants.
I'm not going to piss my pants, though. That's just not me. And by the way, I don't know that I would necessarily want that ending up on TMZ.
Well, that's what triathletes do. They just go.
I wondered about that.
Yeah.
Because the whole time, there's bathrooms along the side of the road right at Zuma Beach, which is where it's going on. But I keep watching anybody to see if they're peeling off to go pee. So the whole run, I'm like, I have to pee, I have to pee, I have to pee, I have to pee. And I have no way of knowing what's 4 miles. And you know, I'm not a runner, right? I'm already a crap runner. A crap runner. I'm a terrible runner. And so... anything endurance is not for me. Like, I can do a one-arm pull-up. I can do a one-arm push-up, you know, once, twice.
I know you don't like endurance stuff.
And you're like, oh, yeah. Isn't that impressive? You know, I can run at 14 miles an hour once as a sprint.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, you ask me to run. You know. So I start running, and it's like I got through it, but I had to pee the entire time, and it was just a disaster. But so then I'm on the phone with my business partner, telling him about how, like, you know, I almost drowned and the bike malfunctioned and I had to pee and, you know, all this stuff. And TMZ comes up to me with a video camera.
Oh, no.
But I knew the guy because he's always in Malibu. His name is Joe. So I didn't think he was actually taping me. So then he puts it on TMZ. Yeah, it's been an interesting month for me.
Well,
but I was so happy I finished. That's what's sad about me is I was like, I did it.
So you were asked to do it. You came through. You did it. You didn't take any advice from anybody. So it served
you. I didn't train at all.
Right. You didn't train.
Not at all.
I still can't believe asking you that question. Jillian, now have you done any pool training? No. The classic answer was when I asked you
the
how much you were swimming and you
thing.
Went, well, I kind of walked it. I walked the pace. I'm like, what do you mean you walked?
I walked the length of the pool.
Yeah.
To see how much swimming it would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, that's right.
But swimming in a pool and swimming in the ocean, there's a whole different animal.
See,
and
I've
the
never
whole
really
time
done
I was
that.
In the ocean, I kept hearing this, Donna.
Oh, stop.
Donna. And I was like, I was just having a massive panic attack.
Well, there are sharks in Zuma. I mean, there are. I mean, I don't know if they come in that close, but that whole Malibu stretch, there's little sharks.
I'll tell you, here's the thing. When I see every single day dolphins and seals, and I've even seen whales. So the thing you know they got to be down there somewhere. How are all the other critters over there?
They're just waiting for a girl who doesn't fit into her neoprene suit very well to come by.
Tasty little snack. Delicious.
Look at that one doing the side stroke. Let's get her flipper.
Yeah, they love an injured animal. They do.
That's what you mean.
That's what I look like.
With your
a little injured
arm.
Creature.
Your little poor little
broken
arm. Yeah,
they sense weakness, and it's how nature cleanses itself.
It's the cycle of life.
It's evolution. They're like, kill that wounded thing.
Kill it.
Yeah, kill it. I'm lucky to have survived now that we're really thinking about this.
I don't know what it's for you side stroking it.
No, I did. Yeah, I did the side stroke. And everybody was like, your time was abysmal. And I'm like, I did it! I was just so happy with myself. Took me 2 hours and 21 minutes at the end of the day. And I was like an abysmal time. But
you did it.
I was like, hi, hi. But the best part that's so funny about the whole thing is that
Jillian.
People were like, oh, your time sucks. You should be ashamed of yourself. And I was like, wait a second. I swam a half a mile. I biked 18 miles and I ran 4. Ashamed of myself. F you, dude.
Who said that it would suck?
God, it was just. But the thing that kills me is that it's like, I was so happy. I was just proud of myself that I did it. I'm like, maybe you've missed the speeches I've given about not being a natural athlete. Although I did not train for it, in all fairness, I did not.
But you know what? It's like, you're right. Up your bum.
Yeah.
Who says, there's so much, I guess that would be tough to be you in that sense. I mean,
but I'm not an athlete, though. And I've been very clear, like, I am not a natural athlete. I don't work out because I'm athletic. Like, I work out because I like skinny jeans and,
your body to feel the way it feels.
Yeah, I want to be around for my kids, but. That's, so to me, I was like, what? What an accomplishment.
Wait a minute. Oh.
Yeah.
I would have been cheering
for
you.
The swim was a car crash, Janice.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
I was concerned.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I cannot tell you how many people I've trained that have ended up becoming personal trainers. Mm. I think that people who appreciate how fitness has empowered them in every facet of their lives suddenly feel compelled to share that message with others.
Pass it forward.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it in so many Biggest Loser contestants. And even back in the day when I would just work with, even 10 years ago when I was training soccer moms, they would take it up as a side job because they loved it so much. Or maybe you are a fitness fanatic. But if you are considering a career as a personal trainer, you want to check out the National Academy of Sports Medicine. I have to tell you that, I was an overweight kid. We all know that. And I fell into this line of work because I loved it. Not necessarily so much, I love feeling the burn, but I love how it empowers me and I love subsequently empowering others in the same way. And if you feel passionate about that, I highly recommend you check these guys out. Because right now, certified personal trainers are in higher demand than ever. And NASM can help you make your goals a reality. They're going to guarantee that you will land a job within 90 days of earning your certification or you get your money back. So you can get started right now with a free 14-day sneak peek of their fast, fun, and easy online program. All you have to do is go to usatrainer.com.
What's that again?
Oh, let me tell you. usatrainer.com. Okay, I have a little personality quiz here for all of our listeners.
Oh,
yeah. I thought this was kind of interesting. What's your sleep position says about you?
Hmm? Oh.
Yes. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Got
sleep position.
Yes.
Okay.
There's not really a lot of takeaway here other than it's more like almost like what's your star sign kind of a
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
Okay. First position is called the free fall, and this is where you lie on your stomach and your hands are kind of up and around the pillow. You got your head to one side. I'm a free faller, just saying. Now, supposedly, free fallers are extroverted and brash, We appear nervy, but apparently we're thin-skinned and we take criticism personally.
Well, now, what's that position again? The free fall?
Free fall. It's just basically you sleep on your stomach.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have a pillow or do you...
I know. In this article, the guy doesn't have a pillow, but I do... Yeah. No, a pillow for your head, but I use a pillow, like, for my leg. You know what I've gotten crazy about? Heidi had this pregnancy pillow, and it's like a gigantic C. So, like, one thing is for your head, and the other thing is for, like, your leg to go over the pillow, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and now it's my pillow. It's my favorite thing ever. It's the only thing I wouldn't let her throw out from the pregnancy. That pillow. Yeah, but, okay, so that's a free faller. Now, and supposedly the health benefit of this is that any position where you're laying face down is good for your digestion.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Any other free fallers here?
No, I used to be. No, but I used to sleep on my stomach, but I don't anymore.
Yeah, see? Now you're a loser. All right. Hang on. The next one is called the fetus. And this is where you curl up on your side. It's the most common sleeping position. It's adopted by 41% of the 1,000 people who took part in the survey. And supposedly those who sleep in the fetus position are described as tough on the outside, but shy and sensitive at heart. And they may take time to warm up to people.
Does it say what side of the fetus position?
No, I don't think it matters.
Right or left?
No. Oh, sleeping on your left side can cause stress in your vital organs,
yes,
though.
Yes, can.
So,
your heart.
Yeah. So, if you do sleep in the fetus position, you want to sleep on the right side.
That's right.
Are you a fetus?
Yes. Now I am.
Yeah, you seem like a fetus.
But I'm also, what do you call it when you sleep on your back?
Oh, I'm not there yet. Oh, can you not jump ahead?
No, I'm getting excited, though.
Okay, try not to jump ahead.
Okay.
Then there's the log. And this is when you lie on your side with both arms down.
Get out of here!
Nope. Log sleepers. And yeah, well, they're socially easygoing people. Their downside is they tend to trust anyone.
What, they sleep like a corpse?
Yeah. The log.
Like an army man.
But it's good for you because it keeps the spine straight, so it's good for back pain.
On the side?
Yeah, the log.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Then the next one is called the yearner. And this is when you, I think this might be you. You sleep on your side with both arms out in front of you.
No, I do not sleep yearning. Like that.
Yeah, like yearning, like, oh, God. Yeah. Both arms out. So, like, the top arm is kind of folded over, you know, the arm is bent, and the hand is on the mattress.
No.
And then the other arm is out to the side. Heidi, I think, is a yearner. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yearners are open to new things, but they're suspicious and cynical. Ooh. Mm. They take a long time to make decisions. Oh, this is Heidi. But once they make a choice, they never change their mind. That's definitely Heidi. Resting on your side can help alleviate some problems associated with acid reflux and sleep apnea. Huh? But if problems occur, you'll need to go see a specialist, of course.
Okay.
Now we know you got to sleep on your right side, not your left.
Yeah. Okay, what about the back?
I'm not there yet.
Oh, God, how many more are there?
Okay, now, if you lay on your back, but your arms are down at your sides, it's called the soldier.
Okay.
And if you... So soldier sleepers are quiet and reserved. They don't like to make a big deal out of things, and they set very high standards for themselves or others.
Yeah.
Autumn. Are you a soldier or a starfish?
I'm more of a starfish.
All right, we're not on the starfish yet. Can you please not jump ahead, Janice?
I didn't. You did.
No. I wasn't talking to you.
Oh.
And you tried to jump in on the conversation.
No, I wasn't.
That wasn't addressed to you. Okay. So, are you a soldier? Huh?
Yes, I'm a soldier.
Well, I thought you were a fetus.
I'm a soldier and a fetus.
It's a young soldier.
I'm a young soldier.
Interesting. Okay, so research shows that if you sleep on your back, it could lead to snoring. Mm. So maybe you should try to flip over and sleep like the free faller, because then you'll wake up more relaxed.
Okay.
Now, the starfish is when you lay on your back with both your arms up.
Pointed to the sky.
No, back, like by your head.
Now that's bad because that's not good because you shouldn't ever sleep with your hands above your heart.
Well,
always hands below the heart.
You're more likely to snore and have breathing problems again.
Yeah, and have no blood in the hands.
But the starfish people are, you know, supposedly great listeners good friends, always willing to offer help, and generally don't like being the limelight.
Well, they obviously get laid a lot in that position.
Is that true, Autumn?
Yeah, Autumn. That's the starfish.
Autumn the bottom?
Autumn the bottom!
I'm happy with my sleep position.
Oh!
Starfish?
It is! Look at her! Look at her!
Well, there you go.
She does seem to be the most relaxed here.
Yeah, I know, out of all of us.
Jake?
I change it up all the time. I'm the one where you're down and you got this with the pillow right here. With your arm underneath the pillow and your head, and then you wake up in the middle of the night and your arm's dead asleep and you can just lift
that.
It up.
That's a princess.
Is that the princess?
Yeah.
I'm a princess.
Yeah.
We're going to edit that part out. I'm not a princess.
Okay.
I'm a manly man.
Uh-huh. Okay. Is that the end of it? Is that all the positions?
Yes. Did you discover something new?
No, but I was just going to say, let's do your stripper name since we're doing what this means.
Oh, right. It's a middle name and the street you grew up on.
The street you grew up on and your first dog.
Yeah, your first
dog. Oh, the street you grew up on and your first dog. Cookie Midwick.
Yeah. Wait
a minute, Sam.
Cookie Midwick.
Midwick?
Midwick.
Midwick. Cookie.
Midwick Lane. Cookie Midwick.
Cookie Midwick. That's one of the best I've ever heard.
Cookie Midwick. Yeah. Oh, well, we know Autumn's. What's Autumn's?
Red Panorama.
Red Panorama.
Red Panorama. Red was your first pet's name? Red? Mm-hmm. Panorama?
Panorama.
Oh, Panorama. Red Panorama.
And what's yours?
Beppy Berkeley.
That's a good one.
Beppy?
We had an old Dachshund named Beppy. We lived on Berkeley.
Beppy Berkeley.
Beppy Berkeley.
Jake?
Magic Lamona.
Oh, wow.
Magic Lamona.
You had a dog named Magic?
Yeah.
Magic Lamona.
I'm more
Lamona.
Concerned about living on Lamona.
Lemon with an A.
Lamona.
Lemon with
Magic
an A.
Lamona.
Magic
That's
Lamona.
A pretty good one. My kids suck, though. Like, when Phoenix answers that question, is going to be Richard Pacifico Skyway. That's terrible.
It's like a salesman.
Richard Pacifico Skyway.
Yeah.
And Lou.
No, he'll be Dick PCH.
Okay.
Dick PCH.
Dick PCH.
All right. And Lou would be, I guess, 7 PCH?
7 PCH. Pat Coast. Yeah, that's a tough one.
They're screwed.
You're going to have to move. Otherwise,
Before the kids, I lived on Willow Glen. 7 Willow Glen?
7 Willow Glen.
No. We call 7's nickname is Dr. Newberg.
Newberg Willow Glen. That's quite a stripper.
You should see Lou running down the beach, calling the dog, Doctor! Dr. Newberg!
That's great.
Swear to God. Doctor! Dr. Newberg! People cannot figure out. Dr. Newberg, that's her nickname.
Well, that's good. So you're
Dr. Newberg, I presume.
You're a free-fallen cookie Midwick.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good.
Aquarius.
Aquarius. That's right, you're Aquarius.
Yeah. Magic Lamona, I think, wins, though.
I think so, too. I think Magic Lamona is the...
Thank you.
That's pretty cool.
All right.
Well,
that was snappy.
That was snappy and informative.
I'm sure iHeart is so glad that they took this on. What an acquisition. Us, The View.
Thank you and good night.
Yeah. Huh? How about that?
That's
like,
good.
What a prize. Clear Channel's going, what the hell have we done?
Exactly.
Bob Pittman's firing people left and right. Who's responsible for this?
All right. We'll be right back.
All right, so who's had a chance to check out Squarespace yet?
I have.
For everybody listening, if you haven't had a chance to check it out, Squarespace.com is an all-in-one platform that's going to make it fast and easy to create your own professional website or an online portfolio. Basically, they've got over 20 highly customizable templates that you can choose from, and the all-in-one platform is going to make it fast for you. So if it's your career or whatever it might be, it's really simple. It's drag and drop. They've got 24/7 customer support. You can easily link to your social media accounts. It starts at just $8 a month, and it includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So you can start with a trial today, no credit card required, and start building your website. For our listeners now, they're offering a free trial and 10% off. So you go to squarespace.com/JillianMichaels, and you just use the offer code JM10. Capital JM 10. Check it out today.
Right, we are back, and we're very excited. I will let Jillian take it away.
We have a super special guest on today. Her name is Danai Gurira. Danai, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. All right, so for those of you who don't know, Danai plays Michonne on, like, my favorite show, The Walking Dead. And Jake passed out when he found out that we were going to be talking to you today. He was so excited.
Yeah.
How are you? What's going on? The new season is coming on. Tell me everything.
It is coming on. It comes on the 13th. We're really excited to share it. We've been, like, working away, you know, like, in rural Georgia for a while. So it's really great to share it with the world. But Jillian, I feel like I owe you a check, to be honest.
I'll always take money.
Yeah, because, I kind of did use a couple of your moves last season.
Really? I need to hear more. So there's some inspiration in Michonne? Because she's like, she's the ultimate television badass. You realize this, right? You know badass on TV.
I think that, you know, I play on TV, but I mean, I kind of do you about like four times a week, and I think that you're kicking my ass in my living room. I'm not quite sure who's the badass.
I love you for that. When you're in LA next, if you ever want to work out, it would be my pleasure.
Oh my God.
To do that in person.
How awesome.
But dude, this show is a phenomenon. I mean, it got 11 million total viewers last season. It's like on AMC. I mean, that's unheard of. That's unheard of. How has this changed your life? I mean, well, wait, let me give people a little background. So you're from Zimbabwe. Were you raised in Zimbabwe? Born in Zimbabwe?
Yeah, I was born in the U.S., and then my parents, we all moved back to Zimbabwe when I was about 5. So then I was raised there, and I came back to college. So I call myself American because it's kind of really a split down the middle.
Gotcha. And you went to NYU.
I did. I went to NYU for grad school. I went to a little Midwestern college for undergrad.
For grad school? So you're not stupid. Okay. Oh, yeah, that was just when I was in grad school.
Exactly.
Bless your heart. Look at you. Okay. And then Janice gave me a little piece of paper here that says, you're going to have to educate us simple folk on this. What is a hotter fellow? It says, Greer's also a hotter fellow at Princeton and a commissioned playwright with the Yale repertoire. How are you even allowed to have all those schools on your resume? That's crazy.
Oh, God. It sounds horribly pretentious when you read it out loud like that.
No, it doesn't. It sounds horribly accomplished. Yeah, it does, buddy. Wow. So can you give me a little bit about your journey in this profession and how you've become so successful? Because there's no nepotism going on here. This is all you.
Thank you, sweet. I don't know really in terms of like the exact thing that happened, but I just started to, like, I loved drama in high school and actually went to college in psychology, but then had sort of a moment where I just had to, like, I sort of had the kind of aha moment when I was in South Africa and as a junior in college, and I kind of knew I wanted to try and tell stories, around all these African artists who had done it. through apartheid, and so I really felt I had no excuse because I kind of wasn't going to do it out of fear, and I just wanted to go a safe route in life. And I said, I kind of can't do that. I'm looking at these amazing artists, so I had to do what I knew I loved. So I came back, and that's when I went to Tisch at NYU for grad school, and decided I was going to try and devote myself to it and try and tell African stories. And that's what my playwriting basically is telling African women stories as much as I can, and tell them in America, which is the other home that I'm from, and sure. have that sort of connection happen. And so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, it's everyone, and with many actors, you know, you only get 2% of the jobs. I'm not special in that area. I've only gotten 2% of the jobs.
Well, let me tell you, you've gotten the ones that count, and you have knocked them out of the park. And I want to continue this conversation, but I have somebody, and we are going to, mind you, I'm not letting him off of the phone come hell or high water, but there is somebody that I have told I'm going to be calling in with a special treat today. He does not know that I am talking to you, and he is your absolute crazy psycho biggest fan, and that would be my coworker, Bob Harper.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Do you mind if we just, because I know he has somewhere to go, and he's like, girl, what do you want? Why? And I have him on hold. Do you mind if we call him and say hello really quickly and then continue talking about all of this really fun, amazing stuff? Because I really want people to hear, A, how you stay in shape, and B, about the passion behind how you pursue your dreams, because I have found you to be such an incredibly inspiring woman. Now, Jake, can we get him?
Let's do it.
He's gonna die. He better answer. I'll kill him because he doesn't know I'm calling with you. Bob? Okay, hang on.
Hello?
Oh, honey?
Yes. I'm sitting here going, he's not answering. I'm like, I'm here.
I know. I have a little surprise for you.
What?
So, somebody's on the phone with me. Who's your favorite character on TV?
God, I mean, that's so hard. It's it could be Jesse Pinkman. It could be Walter White.
Mm-hmm. And?
I mean, I don't know. You're putting me on the spot. I don't know who my favorite character is right
Your
now.
Very favorite, the one that you say that you relate to, and you have a bobblehead doll.
Shut up.
No, on the phone. Right now, Danai Gurira. Michonne is on the phone.
Michonne.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
No.
How are you doing?
Michonne, you don't even understand. I have a bobblehead of you in my dressing room.
That's funny. How are you?
I am so obsessed with you. Last season, I was so completely stressed out that they were going to kill you. Like, every episode, I was just like this. If they kill Michonne, I'm done with this show. I will be done with this show if they hurt my girl. I think you are the biggest badass on television.
Oh, my gosh. So,
thank you, Bob.
Bob, the new season is coming October 13th. So I don't know if she'll give you any giveaways or anything, but I thought you could ask. You could try to squeeze a little something out of there.
Oh, I don't want to know anything. As long as Michonne
I want to know everything.
I don't want to know anything. I want to be surprised.
Oh, my
That's
God.
First, Jillian's
the girl that wants to read the last page of a book.
Oh.
So I don't want to know anything. That's great.
No, I don't want to know anything.
I appreciate that because I can't tell you anything, you know, because I'm not allowed.
Just a little something. Just a little. Come on, just a little sneak peek. There's got to be something you could give to us.
I have one more thing to tell Michonne. Hold on. I love that I'm calling you Michonne, by the way.
Deny.
When your character was introduced, when you came walking up with those two walkers with their, like, you know, with their arms chopped off and no bottom mouth, I was like, okay, this girl is going to be my favorite person ever on television. I'm in love with you. I've got the biggest crush on you in the whole world. I love watching every minute you're on there. I'm just like, I'm obsessed with you.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. You feel a little strange coming on TV like that. You're like, I don't know how people are going to respond to this chick because I've got two pet walkers. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I was really sad when you had to kill those walkers.
Oh, those and those were her family members, right?
Yeah.
Those are Michonne's family members.
Were they? Were they?
I felt like you knew them.
Or you had some sort of dynamic with them or something. Because it was like sad when they killed your pet mummies. Well, no, zombies. Zombies! I watched the show. I've seen every episode of the show.
I like mummies.
Zombies!
No, like
oh, my God. Zombies.
I like mummies. That's
no,
good.
Zombies!
They're walkers, Jillian. They're walkers.
Yeah, but they're zombies. If somebody doesn't know, they need to know that a walker is a zombie. It
well,
just in case
know,
there's
then
more...
they need to get schooled on Walking Dead.
The so show is essentially a post-apocalyptic world, right? It's like it's this disease. This is it a virus or a bacteria? We don't really know what it is,
yeah,
right?
We don't know. Yeah, it's really a mystery as to what happened to mankind. But the what was established was that at the end of season two is that everybody has it. Like
everyone has.
Everyone's a carrier.
Yeah,
okay, is there a love interest in Michonne's future?
Oh,
come on!
I thought it was going to be the girl that got killed at the end. I was so glad she got
Andrea.
Killed. She was bugging me.
Right. Andrea's my girl.
She
was
bugging me.
She could have killed the governor if she didn't.
Wait, she does? I'm two episodes back.
Oh my God, Jake, leave the room if you're not up to speed.
I'm only back two episodes. I didn't think we'd spoil that much.
You idiot! You can't be here. This is only for people who are caught up. Get out of here.
Get out.
You gotta get out. This is serious. Do we get any indication about any type of a cure this season?
Any type of a what?
Cure.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, a lot of interesting stuff is going to go down this season. It's actually really exciting. It's this crazy, like, mashup of deep character stuff and then, like, crazy action. So it's just never-ending, like, thought. Like, you might, like, get into a moment, and then the next moment you're, like, thrown off your seat. So it's really, even to read them, it's like, whoa, we're going to do that?
Oh.
So it is really exciting. And that's my way of actually saying I can't really answer
I
that
know,
question,
you're speaking in broad generalities. So can I ask you, because you're in ridiculous, insane shape. Your body is sick. Have you always been in this kind of incredible shape, or did you train for the role? Because you're like a samurai warrior.
Fine.
You're a freaking ninja on that show.
Well, I'm glad it looks that way on TV, but I kind of, you know, I just, I was a jock growing up, then I exercised, but, you know, I did start to exercise more when I had to train with that thing, and that thing was not a game, like, just, like, I was, like, in Epsom bath, salt bath for, like,
with a real sword? You trained with a real sword?
Yeah, I mean, initially you start with, like, a sort of replica, which is made of wood or something like that, but then you move on to the actual swords. Yeah,
wow.
Absolutely.
They've
and
given
the
you a real,
real
sword? I thought for sure that had to be like a fake. Wow. So for those of you who haven't seen the show, which you're not one of the 11 gazillion people watching it, our favorite character who Danai plays, Michonne, is like a samurai warrior and fights with a samurai sword. And I cannot believe that is a real sword. That is awesome. So you had to train to learn how to use that thing? That's amazing.
I did. I mean, they put a lot of faith in me because they gave me the role, and then they said, you know, are you athletic? I was like, yeah. And they're like, okay, now you have to learn how to use your sword in 6 weeks. So I had 6 weeks to, like, you know, to get. And thankfully, I had a fantastic teacher, Adam Hart, who's there in Los Angeles, and he really got me there. And
that's so cool.
Me a lot.
No boyfriend is ever going to mess with you again. She's like, I'm samurai trained, bitch. Step
yeah,
off.
Nobody's ever going to mess with her.
I will chop your head off. Okay.
But I must say, Jillian, I pick up like just about every single DVD you have, and the one that like kicked my butt this year when I was prepping for the season was Extreme Shed and Shred.
Oh.
And I love it. I love it. I love it. And it kicks my butt. And getting through the second one, I'm like, okay. That was the special occasions, I must say. The second one was the special occasion days. I would do the second one.
You'd have to be a crazy person to do the second one. Yeah, the 245s back-to-back were evil. I do admit that.
No,
that was darkness on my part. I do want to ask another question, though. Is there any part of that character that you identify with, or do you think that you've infused her with you, and that's what's made her to be such a resilient and empowered character on TV?
Well, I mean, I think there's parts of her that I can really relate to and parts that I really can't, but I think her template was really in the comic book. I tend to call it a graphic novel because it so jumps off the page at you that to me it's like, it feels so real. But like, she was so crafted by Robert Kirkman on the page that there was a lot to actually draw from about her, just about how strong she was, how tough she was. I mean, the story that happens between her and the governor in the comic book is unreal. And the way she's resilient from that and how she handles that is unbelievable. And so there was a lot to pull from there, but there's something about her that I really related to as I started to research the character. I guess I do have a tough girl gene. I definitely have the tough girl gene. So I do relate to her toughness, but she would kick my ass. Like, I'm not tough like her. Like, if I met Michonne, I'd probably run away. You know, so I'd be like, I'm going to get out of here. But,
I would want to be friends with her really quickly.
She would kick my ass. But, like, in terms of, like, who, my whole thing that I love about the show is, who would I be if the world got that dire? You know, like, who would I turn into?
Yeah.
And this play I'd written about Liberian women in war, that's where I really connected to her, because I'd met women who, when things went dire and they went through serious trauma because they lost all sort of, like, structures and protections, they turned into warriors. They turned into rebel fighters, like really, really scary rebel fighters.
Wow.
And they transformed as a result of circumstances. And I was always like, well, you know, if everything, like, went down like this, in where I was, I'd probably turn into something similar, hopefully, you know, in my head. Like, that's probably the route I would take. So there's something about that really clicked for me about her. Like, I understood how she was like, I'm going to take care of myself, and I'm going to make sure that I'm the last one standing if I can. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to fight to the end. Like, I sort of understood that. Like, I was like, if things got this dire, I think I would try to be that chick, too. Whether or not I succeed is another question.
Yeah.
I think I would try.
That is such an interesting question, because you do ask yourself that. Like, would you give up? Would you absolutely curl into a ball and go into denial and shut down? Would it bring out the best in you, or would it bring out the worst in you? Would you? I always think of it like Platoon. I don't know if you remember that movie, but there was like Tom Berenger's character and Willem Dafoe's character, and like Willem Dafoe was like the martyr, and Tom Berenger just went to the dark side and became the devil, like Shane versus Rick in that show.
And it is, you're
totally right. You wonder what that would bring out in you, and I love that. I think I would actually curl into a ball. That would be me.
No, you would never.
I don't know, buddy. Bob would be Michonne, though, Bob.
I would be Michonne.
Yeah.
I'd be protecting Jillian. I'd be like this, baby, you just stay in that little ball. I got you covered.
He would. He totally would. He absolutely would. And can you tell us, tell me a little bit about this movie you've got coming out. So it's called Mother of George, and it's like, is it out right now? It came out early September, right? Or was it in Sundance? When do we get to see this and tell me about it?
Yeah, it came out 2 weeks ago in New York City. It came out last week in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And it's rolling out throughout the country within the next few weeks. And it's extremely different from The Walking Dead. It's an independent, and it's about basically an immigrant couple in Brooklyn, a Nigerian woman who's just come from Nigeria, and she's marrying the love of her life. He gets her over here finally through getting her a green card. So she's in the country now and adapting to really enjoying being a wife. At the beginning of the film, the very imposing mother-in-law says, you know, you will mother a child. They're very traditional.
Right.
And the child will be called George. So it's called Mother of George because her deceased husband is called George. So she really wants to mother a child. And it's a very strong, of course, expectation in many cultures, including this one. And the snag comes when that doesn't happen.
Oh.
And this, you know, a year and a half and all this time is going by and then nothing's happening. And the pressures that start to come on her and the way that she ends up solving the situation is kind of unexpected, I think.
Okay. Got it.
Journey of it, yeah, but it's beautifully shot. It's the cinematographer has gotten amazing attention. Bradford Young, he got Best Cinematography in Sundance. It's very unusually done the way they've put the story on the page. The colors of Africa are very vibrant in it. Beautiful costuming by the costume designer, and so it's actually, people talk about how sensual it is to watch it. So I'm just, you know, I'm thankful it's out there. It's just a, you know, small little film that I'm thankful is getting, you know, people are seeing it here and there.
I cannot wait to see it.
And I just want to ask you, because I know I've kept you quite a while, and I'm sure that your publicist talked to my producer, and I'm sure she was like, 8 minutes. Oh, okay.
An hour later.
But I wanted to ask you one more thing for the listeners who are afraid to pursue their passion and to go after that dream and are torn between what you and I talked about briefly earlier, like choosing the safer path, the quote, stable path versus the path that your heart is telling you to follow. What would be your advice? Because you're one of the most inspiring women on television, but you're also an incredibly inspiring woman in real life. And I would just love to know, what would you say to that person?
Oh, thank you. I think, well, firstly, I would say, you know, fear is often not really even real. And, you know, it's such, you know, there's a beautiful thing I was taught when I was in grad school, which was, you know, the best thing to do is often, like, in A Beautiful Mind, the movie where you know, he was seeing things that weren't real.
Yeah.
And he was seeing that man and his niece, and then he finally realized they weren't real, and then he never stopped seeing them, he just stopped engaging them. And so it's like, you know, the idea of stop engaging, whether it doesn't even matter if it comes up or not, just don't engage it. Actually engage what you know is life-giving and what you know is what you're called to do and you feel, you know, most passionate about doing. And don't let anything get in the way of that, because, you know, we're given this life and it's not one, you know, it's not one to mess around with. And I think there's so many, the thing that really pushes me is that I see that I've been given a lot of access, and not everyone has that, but I've been given a lot of access. I was born in this country. I'm able to, you know, I'm able-bodied, you know, there are things I can do. And so to not do them, I feel is to, you know, to not do something that I'm meant to do, and it might help other people along the way. So I feel like I'm depriving others if I don't do what I'm called to do. And so that often really pushes me sometimes when I'm trying to get out my own way. I think there are girls who look just like me. There are girls who look just like me on the continent right now, and they can't do what I'm allowed to do. And so I have no right to not do all I can do at every moment.
Yeah.
And that's what inspires me, is that, you know, whatever we can do in this world, it blesses others, and that's the most important thing to me.
You're an amazing woman. I just want to have lunch with you. Bob, I want to be your best friend forever. You really are, dude. I could talk to you for hours, and I could talk to you for hours. You're truly incredible, and your work is amazing.
So are you, Jillian.
And I can't wait to
see. I really appreciate you too. I want to say I love doing your workouts, not just because you so know what you're doing, but because your mindset is that of a winner, and you're inspiring other people with how you communicate with them and how you push them and how you don't let people not do their best. And really, I mean, there are times where I'm like, but you know, you don't let us go into autopilot. And then you're telling us how you're going to break us and tell us how you love us, you know? And I'm telling you, that stuff like makes me do my 4 a.m. workout, you know, before I go to work, you know?
Oh.
And you're really, really special. I really appreciate you. Oh, so thank you.
Thank you. And all right, really quick, everybody, The Walking Dead, October 13th, and Mother of George coming soon to a theater near you. Danai, dude, we want you on anytime you've got something to promote. And if ever you're in L.A., Bob and I would be happy to beat you. Bob will take you to CrossFit. I'll be waiting outside to go for a drink with you. So just
awesome. I would love that.
We're super, super fans. Thank you so much for coming on, buddy. You're amazing. Bob, anything else, Bob? Bob, any questions, Bob?
No, thank you so much. I really felt honored to be able to be a part of this conversation. So thank you, Jillian. I really enjoyed the whole thing. Thank you very much.
Okay, guys.
Thank you, Bob. Great to meet you.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Excited to have a new sponsor today, Janice.
I love that.
Lovocracy.com.
Cool.
Kind of a cool name, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Lovocracy is this really cool website where you can buy recommended pins, like pinning something that you like, right? A snapshot of it. You can buy recommended pins, posts, tweets, and or shares from all around the web. So let's say I discovered a perfume or an outfit or a computer or a cool set of headphones or whatever, and someone pins it or posts it or talks about it.
Right.
This thing finds it on the web, and basically their team searches all over the internet and tracks down the lowest price from the most reliable retailers, so you're not going to ever have to hunt it down. So they find it for you and then find the lowest price for you. Isn't that cool? And the whole idea is that marketing is sort of like, you know, doesn't really work anymore. So it's based off of personal recommendations.
Ain't that the truth?
Isn't that the coolest?
It's no, but it's true.
I know. All you have to do is simply buy with a click and you're done. It's that easy. So you can join Lovocracy today and you're going to receive a $10 credit to purchase anything on the site. And that's LUVOCRACY.com. Go check it out. You're going to dig it. We both know Autumn digs it. It's supposed to be working. Bless her heart.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.